Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Vice President of Dundurn Press, Beth Bruder. Beth, you're a member of the Council of the Association of Canadian Publishers and a founding member and chair of the ACP committee that started the 49th Shelf. Now, the 49th Shelf, as I understand it, is a Canadian book discovery website. Can you tell us a little bit more about...
Absolutely, yeah. Delighted to do so. I'm actually not on the council anymore, but I have been for many years. I was with the group, the committee that started the 49th Shelf, and I think this is a significant achievement in Canadian publishing. I believe it actually launched in 2012, but we were working on it before that. And at that time, if you went in and Googled Canadian authors, you would get some hockey books.
All right.
There was actually no way to find a body of Canadian authored work. It was just impossible.
And that's 2012. It's not that
long
ago.
That's 2012. And so as we began to develop this website, it became clear to all of us. Craig Riggs is the man that started it and designed it and still running it. It became clear to us that this was going to be an important website. When we started, there are like two solitudes in Canadian publishing. There's the branch plants and there's Canadian-owned publishing companies. They each have their own separate councils. So there's always talk about, you know, we like to say published by a Canadian-owned publisher, and they don't care about that, understandably. But in the long run, neither do readers.
No.
So this was something we had to include. We couldn't leave out Margaret Atwood, who's now published by Random House. So we decided that the website would be for Canadian-authored books.
Yeah.
So that covered everybody. It took that kind of politics out of it. The secondary part that doesn't look as glamorous as it does today, and was also an important milestone in Canadian publishing, was the role that BookNet played. Over the last 6 to 8 years, database and metadata is the word they use on books has become increasingly important worldwide. That's how we share all the book information. That's how we share reviews now. At Dundurn, we have a commercial database called Books Onyx that we maintain. So when we sign a book, almost as soon as it's signed, we begin to fill in the template, and it will include things like the book description, the author bio, the age range. Anything you see on Amazon is in that database. But when 49th Shelf started, many, many smaller Canadian publishers, this was way down on their list of priorities to do this.
Yeah,
it's not
so
fun.
Much time.
Yes, not enough time. So, but this was how we were going to build this database, was through the Onyx feeds. So a lot of our work, both my work at BookNet and my work at 49th Shelf, was to bring the Canadian publishing industry into the metadata world.
Mm.
So now, what you see on 49th Shelf is the publisher's information. If there's a mistake, it's from the publisher's side.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Canadian publishing moved way up in the world of metadata. And it really pushed us. And because publishers could see, they'd call and say, well, my book isn't on 49th Shelf. Well, have you submitted it? Oh, there's a mistake. Well, that's your mistake then.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of trained us all. But, I mean, they've just added enhancements so that you can find all kinds of lists of books, award-winning books, books on Aboriginal culture, and they curate those lists. That's now their job.
So you can get it by genre or by author or by...
You can build your own lists
of
books you like, or if you've seen something, or if you're looking through. It's supported by the government for the Department of Canadian Heritage, but it's also partly sponsored by Amazon, which gives it a little bit more stability. But if people haven't been on it, it's well worth joining. It's free.
Now, to get back to Dundurn, you're on the other side of the desk from all the writers, and you hold the secrets, right? So what are you looking for in a manuscript?
I think we should start with what are we looking for as a publishing company? And I think it's very important for writers to do their homework. Until recently, we were one of the few companies that accepted unagented manuscripts. But we were getting 100 a week. We do not have enough resources to manage them. So we've kind of, on our website, we've cut that off. It really depends on what the company is publishing. So I think if a writer wants to approach us, they should look at our list and understand what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. We don't do much sci-fi. Well, we don't do any sci-fi. So it's no point in bringing us a sci-fi trilogy.
Right.
But we do a lot of literary fiction and women's fiction.
Right.
And we also say on the website what you need to provide. It's sales all the way, right? The author has to sell the reader. They also have to sell the publisher. So they should have an idea of how they're going to market it. What is the hook? I talked about Tears in the Grass. It's a hook. This is an Aboriginal woman that had this traumatic experience. However, I've been selling this internationally as well. They don't care so much about the Aboriginal aspect. That's interesting. But it's also a powerful story of three generations of women.
Mm-hmm.
So the writer really needs to know where their book is targeted. You can look around at websites and find examples, but most writers know it in their heart.
Right.
Right, who the book is for. And if they can't explain that, then that's where I think they have to start.
Right. So they have to become marketers in a way rather than...
Yes, they do. Authors. We also ask now what their social media profile is like. Because it's very difficult, as we know, as publishers and you know as writers, to sell books. Fewer bookstores, more online stuff. So we have to look to the authors. So we do look at their social media profile, especially if they say they have one.
And what do you expect to see there?
I expect to see them engaged and with their own community. And that's a word they use in that world. I only know the top half. Most of the people in the office that will be listening to this, they're the experts. So they need to, if you are writing for older women, then you need to show how you're engaging with that community. I mean, maybe it's Twitter, maybe not. Maybe it's Instagram, Facebook, maybe it's readings you do, if you do a lot of bookings. So we need to see that.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be everything, because that's a huge time suck then.
Absolutely.
But as long as you're engaging with your reading community,
yes,
in a meaningful way.
That is actually the key, Gwen, yeah. Exactly that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, promotion, we give about 2 weeks of concentrated promotion for books, sometimes longer. But, you know, there's always lots of talk about how publishers today are pushing back and are asking this more and more. And we did a book on Susanna Moody, and I was reading, it's just a little one. And so if I can read this, it jumped out at me. So this is Susanna Moody by Anne Simon. And this is her paraphrasing of what happened to Susanna. On the morning of August 12th, 1830, Susanna sat at the dining table at Raden Hall, grudgingly slipping flyers advertising her first book, Enthusiasm and Other Poems, into envelopes addressed to friends and acquaintances. This is when Susanna Moody was still in the UK. She didn't like to have to do this, but that was the agreement she had made with a London publisher, Smith & Elder. She had to raise enough money by advance sales of her book to cover the cost of printing. Orders for 50 books had already been filled, but she needed to sell a lot more. Who can I possibly turn to next? Who would know a lot of people interested in poetry? Susanna asked herself. In a flash, the name of Mary Russell Mitford, I'm assuming this is a wealthy woman, whom she had never met but corresponded with occasionally, came to her mind. Hadn't the famous writer praised all the poems she had sent to her? Susanna now felt more cheerful and immediately reached for her pen and a fresh sheet of paper. After a few pleasantries, she swallowed hard and came to the point. Will you excuse the liberty I am taking, dear Miss Mitford, in closing the prospectus of a small volume of poetry, which a friend of mine has undertaken to publish for me by private subscription? I should feel greatly obliged to you if you would circulate them among any of your wealthy friends who are unfashionable enough to be lovers of poetry. And indeed she did, and indeed she got lots of orders, and the book was published on May 28, 1831.
Wow, so author marketing is nothing new.
Exactly, exactly. So this is why I loved this when I found it. Nothing has changed that much. It's still hard to sell books.
Yeah. Well, it's a hard reality, but it is a reality, and
yes,
we have to live with it.
Yes.
Well, many thanks, Beth, for coming in today to
speak
to us and
you.
Tell us all these things. Very interesting indeed.
It is a real pleasure to be here, and I think it's really important that more Canadians know about Canadian publishing and understand what a big commitment it is. The government has been truly helpful in providing a certain percentage of stable funding over the years, so we have to be grateful to the Department of Canadian Heritage. So it keeps us afloat. Thank you very much for having me here.
Okay. Well, many thanks to Beth Bruder, Vice President at Dundurn Press, for being with us today. How does listeners get hold of Dundurn books other than the usual Amazon and so on? Is there anything else they should know? And, of course, how do they connect with 49th Shelf?
49th Shelf is simply that. It's www.49thshelf.com, so they can go on that quickly and sign up. There's no cost. Dundurn books are available wherever books are sold. I just wanted to mention that Kirk Howard, who has had a long interest in the Commonwealth, realized there was no Commonwealth Book Publishers Association. There's a Journalist Association. There's all kinds of association. So about 3 years ago, we started to look into it. And we've now had three meetings with a group of Commonwealth publishers. The last one was in London, just before the London Book Fair. It's still far from being a reality. I mean, they are going for accreditation within the Commonwealth Secretariat. But what is very encouraging about it is the publishing problems that we face are the same in Ghana, Nigeria, Australia, India, Singapore. So we quickly had some common issues. So we're continuing to work on that and hope that that will be another way that Canadian authors and Canadian books can be sold around the world.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Beth. And to our listeners, if you would like to connect with us, please visit our website, wordonthehills.com, and you can leave us a message, a query, a comment. We'd love to hear from you. And please tune in again next week, right here on Northumberland 897, Truly Local Radio.